Anyway, we've got a very interactive webinar today. I'm very pleased to welcome Fred Wheeler, who is the Assistant Vice President with Forest T. Jones & Company. Fred has been instrumental for a number of years in providing a vast array of insurance products to NAESP members, including a $1 million induced professional liability product, the subject of which is today's webinar. Fred will share some insights on both the live professional liability plan and the job protection benefits for legal support available to NAESP members in the event of job action in the workplace. So, Fred, with that, welcome, and we look forward to what you have to say to us.
Okay, thank you very much, Honor. Appreciate it. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Fred Wheeler. I'm with Forest T. Jones and Company. Been with the company for 27 years. I've been in the association space for probably about 30 years. My headquarters, again, is in Chantilly, Virginia. My company's headquarters is in Kansas City, Missouri, where we house about 250 employees. We've always had a presence here in the D.C. area. It goes about 60% of the associations in the country reside here. FTJ has been serving educators since the 50s. The company began when Forrest, the founder of our company, actually got into his car and was driving around the state of Missouri enrolling educators in employee benefits, health insurance, life insurance, disability insurance. In 1973, we began serving educators across the country through a new kind of relationship, an affinity-sponsored relationship, and we did this with national associations. FTJ is we're defined as a broker administrator. As a broker, we negotiate with really some of the leading insurance companies in the world to provide competitive, comprehensive insurance products for members of these associations. The administrator part of it is we do all that boring backroom stuff. We bill and collect the business, underwrite applications, pay the claims, provide customer service, and do the marketing. Now, in the topic I'm discussing today, we do a limited amount of administration because, again, in professional liability, it's often a legal matter that involves attorneys, and the carrier pretty much takes it from the claims processing portion of the scenario. One of the other things my company does is we provide business insurance to more than 200 national and state associations. By that I mean, for example, we do this for NAESP. We insure their building, the contents, and the general liability exposure, cover them at their conferences. We insure the board of directors with a D&O policy, protecting those board of directors. And we often write convention cancellation insurance, again, a policy that protects the association's revenue in the event of some sort of natural disaster, such as inclement weather, terrorism, power outages, strikes. And we make those associations whole so that we can protect their revenue at their conferences. So one of the things we're going to do throughout the presentation this afternoon is we're going to ask you some poll questions. So here is the first of those poll questions. Melissa, a middle school teacher with 8 years experience, received a letter of reprimand from her principal and was asked to appear before an administrative panel. Do you think this educator was safe, or should she have had a professional liability policy? I'll give you a moment to answer.
And there on your screen, you will see that 80% said this educator would be sorry she wasn't insured, and 20% said they were safe from the claim.
Yeah, and if you said you were sorry, you were correct. The cost of legal counsel related to her appearance was more than $1,000, which she had to pay out of her own pocket. So that was the answer to that poll question. So how did we come to work with NAESP? So 44 years ago, we began TIE, which stands for Trust for Insuring Educators. TIE literally began with a handful of national educational associations who faced a changing environment when the NEA, of which they were a part, no longer served these associations. This threatened to weaken these organizations by depriving their members of an essential core benefit, their insurance program. They responded by working with my company, Forrest T. Jones & Company, and formed the Trust for Insuring Educators. This, in essence, assured that their members or NAESP members would continue to have access to a high-quality insurance benefit program. The first association in the trust was, you guessed it, NAESP. TAI today has 67 national educational associations and is a consortium of all types of groups. The common thread is they're all educational in nature, and they're national associations. So we have pretty much all the teaching disciplines, English teachers, math teachers, technology teachers, business teachers. We have school psychologists. We have school counselors. We have Catholic educators, parochial schools, Montessori schools, community college employees, on and on and on, school food service workers as well. Could we go to the next slide now, Honor? And here is another poll question. Mr. Wade and Mr. Perez were overheard in the teacher's lounge critiquing the job performance of their vice principal. Were these two educators safe, or were they sorry again that they didn't have coverage?
And the results are 73% said that they would be sorry they weren't insured, and 27% that they would be safe from a claim.
Yeah, and the answer is that they were safe. The teachers were asked to be more circumspect in their sharing of their personal opinions, but no disciplinary action was taken in this case. So one of the things I've been asked to do today is to try to give you all an idea about what the NAESP policy intends to cover, and thus, hopefully, I'll describe what the policy does not intend to cover. Matter of fact, when I first got into the insurance business, they told me the best way to read any insurance policy is to go to the policy exclusions first and find out what's not covered. If I had to leave you with one thing to take away from this presentation, it would be that the NAESP policy is a defense policy. The gist of our policy is to provide NAESP members with peace of mind, knowing that if your school district doesn't have sufficient coverage, or if their policy limits become exhausted, or if they just flat refuse to defend you, that you as an NAESP member have an individual professional liability plan to protect you, and it's something that you'll be able to personally rely on. So let's talk a little bit about the coverage. The NAESP Induced Professional Liability Plan pays up to $2 million for damages and defense arising from professional liability lawsuits. It's important to note that this insurance provided by NAESP is an induced professional liability plan, and that's the term we use since members of NAESP get this by virtue of their membership in the organization. But what I wanted to state is that it is defined as an excess plan over any other valid and collectible insurance, and that's including the coverage provided by your school districts and or your school board. Next slide, please. And here we go with another poll.
It's a 50-50 one on this one, Fred.
Whoa, that's good. Well, this educator was sorry, in fact, because Bryce's parents sued the teacher, principal, and superintendent, alleging damage to their son's academic reputation and stated his college prospects were ruined. Now, what does the professional liability policy even cover? These are the types of circumstances that are covered under the NAESP Professional Liability Plan. So here we go. Injuries to students under your supervision, improper placement of students, hiring unqualified people, defamation, failure to educate, promote, or grant credit to a student, violation of a student's civil rights. And by the way, this is a provision that's not found in many professional liability policies at all, and it's a growing cause of claims. Improper methods employed in instruction, counseling, or research. There's even a sublimit for criminal charges, provided that you're found not guilty or the charges are dismissed. I'd like to note that a few years ago, the limit for criminal charges was only $4,000. NAESP asked if we could increase that limit, and the carrier agreed to increase the limit to $25,000. Also, there's a sublimit of $50,000 for sexual misconduct. Of course, you would need to be found not guilty in order to prevail. There have been many instances that I can recall being with Forrest v. Jones for so long and insuring members of NAESP throughout this policy's history where we've strengthened this policy for the benefit of NAESP members. So as an NAESP member, you are protected against claims arising from your acts or omissions committed by you during the policy period or subsequent to the retroactive date of coverage. The retro date is the date you joined NAESP. The plan becomes effective on that date and continues as long as you remain an NAESP member in good standing. Three things need to exist in order to be eligible for coverage. First, you must be a member of NAESP at the time of the act or omission. Second, you need to be a member when the claim is made. And lastly, you must be a member continuously through the claims process. And here we go. You guessed it. Another poll. Miriam, a middle schooler, had a locker outside of Mr. Kruger's science classroom where she alleged that she was a repeated victim of bullying. So do you think Mr. Kruger was safe, or was he sorry he didn't have insurance?
All right. So the results are 69% that the educator would be sorry he wasn't insured, and 31% that they would be safe from a claim.
Okay. And the answer here is, as many of you have guessed it, sorry, Mr. Kruger, he was accused of failing to take action to stop the bullying. His school declined to defend him, claiming its liability policy excluded coverage for emotional distress by students. And this is one of the examples. Even though our policy is an excess policy, our policy would have kicked in this circumstance where the school district's policy did not come into play. The NAESP policy would have. The second facet of the coverage that is provided to NAESP members is the legal support program. Here's how this policy works. If you are subject to a job-related due process proceeding, things like suspension, demotion, reassignment, or even termination, NAESP's legal support program will reimburse NAESP members up to $1,000 of legal expenses for each year of continuous membership to a maximum of $10,000. And this is subject to a $500 deductible per claim. To put things in perspective, there are many, many more job action claims by NAESP members as opposed to professional liability claims. They're much more rare. And here we go with another poll. When a student made a disparaging comment about homosexuals during a class on multiculturalism, Mrs. Silva sent him to the principal's office. Again, is Mrs. Silva safe or sorry she didn't have coverage?
And the results are 69% thought the educator would be safe from a claim versus 31% that thought the educator would be sorry she wasn't covered.
Well, it turns out the folks who thought she was sorry were correct. Mrs. Silva faced a lawsuit from the student's family for allegedly violating his civil rights. And as I mentioned earlier, this is an area of increasing claims activity and, again, an area that the NAESP policy addresses. Now I thought I might raise a couple questions that I hope will bring some more clarity to all of this. After we go over these questions, I'll then give you guys a chance to ask some questions that you may have, and I'll do my best to answer them. If I don't have the answer, we'll just put it on hold, and I'll get the answer to you through Honor. Before I do that, you guessed it, another poll question. Principal Bennett allowed the Faith Knitters Club to meet weekly at a school. One of its members was injured while on school property. Was Principal Bennett safe, or do you think he was sorry that he didn't have coverage?
The answers are 71% thought the educator would be sorry he wasn't covered, and 29% thought he would be safe from a claim.
Those that thought he would be sorry were correct. The club member sued the school and the principal. The school board refused to defend the Principal Bennett, saying that he acted recklessly by allowing the club to meet on school property. Again, when the school would deny coverage, then the NAESP policy would respond. So here are a couple questions that I get asked, have been asked through the years somewhat frequently. So I'll go through these questions, and then I'll provide a response to them. And then at the end, we'll take your specific questions. So first, is the $2 million limit shared by all NAESP members? Now, one of the things I've heard through the years, and it's erroneous, is that some members sometimes have believed that the $2 million limit is to be shared among all NAESP members. And again, that is incorrect. Each NAESP member has their own individual $2 million policy. Are administrative proceedings covered? The policy does not cover actions instituted by the state. In order to be covered, the actions need to be instituted by the employer, the school, or the school district. They must have the authority to bring an employment action against the employee. Next slide and another poll. Three teachers supervising a field trip instructed their student to stay with the group. Nevertheless, one student, Sammy, strayed, fell, and was injured. Safe or sorry on this one? Again, I think the answer to this one is that he was sorry because Sammy's parents brought a lawsuit against the teachers alleging improper supervision. And I will say in my career, this is probably the most common scenario for a claim. What membership status is necessary in order to be eligible for a claim under the NAESP policy? Well, we kind of touched on this a little bit already. When would a member become eligible to file a claim against the policy? Well, the first thing we do is to be certain that the members has an active membership date is we validate this with the NAESP staff. The NAESP policy is known as a claims made policy. And what does that mean? With this type of policy, it means that the policy must be in force when the claim occurs, and importantly, the policy must still be in force when the claim is filed. Once your coverage lapses in a claims made policy, all claims for prior years will not be covered. So it is critically important that the coverage remains continuous, and that means that your membership in NAESP must be continuous in order to cover claims for prior years. So to summarize this, the NAESP plan will provide coverage for claims that occur and are reported during the policy period or after the retroactive coverage date, again, which is the date the member has joined NAESP. How will this policy respond when a defense is provided by the school district? I think we also touched on this one a little bit in some of those poll questions. If the school provides a defense, how does this NAESP policy respond? Well, remember that I said that this policy was an excess policy? It is likely that an NAESP member school district has liability insurance. If a defense is provided by the school district's E&O policy, the NAESP policy becomes, that word I used earlier, excess. It sits on top of that school district's E&O policy. The NAESP policy would only provide a defense if the insured is denied a defense by the school district's E&O policy. Sometimes there are allegations of civil suits that are denied by the school district's E&O policy. The NAESP policy would then provide a defense. You should be aware, however, that schools' policies protect the district, it protects the school board members, trustees, administrators, teachers, protects a lot of things. The policy must defend everything from students' admissions policies to employment practices. Schools can end up spending millions of dollars to defend a case brought against them. If the district's policy is not broad enough, or if the policy's liability limit is exhausted, the member can find themselves personally and financially liable. So you could be liable for your actions, but you can also be liable for your inactions, as was demonstrated by the poll of the student who was getting bullied. Okay, here's another poll. And this will be our last poll for the afternoon. Mr. Jerome, a global studies instructor, covers world religions in his seminar course and moderates class discussions, which at times become very heated. Do you think that Mr. Jerome is protected or not?
And the results are 62% thought that Mr. Jerome would be sorry he wasn't covered, and 38% that thought he would be safe from a claim.
And those that felt that he would be sorry for not having coverage were correct. The student filed a lawsuit against Mr. Jerome, alleging that he made disparaging remarks about Christianity and fostered a hostile environment against Christians. So let's now go to another question, if we could go to the next slide. Does the policy cover contract employees? This often gets asked of me, particularly when I'm exhibiting at the conferences. If an NAESP member cannot meet the employee definition in the policy, he or she would not be eligible for the in-dues coverage provided by the association. The member might, however, have recourse to purchase a private practice professional liability policy on a voluntary basis if the applicant can verify, this is important, that he or she is insured under the school district's E&O policy. This coverage is available again through NAESP members through Forrest T. Jones. And, you know, I mentioned the definition of an employee, and I jotted it down just so you'll all know how it's defined in the policy. And it reads as this: employees shall mean a person employed in an instructional or pupil services organization for wages or salary, but employee does not include any independent contractor or employee of an independent contractor. So if you are defined as an independent contractor, contract employee, or the key is if you're receiving 1099 income, contractor income, then you would be considered a person in private practice, and that would not be covered under the in-dues plan, but you would have recourse to look for a private practice plan, and I would urge you to do so because you are very vulnerable if you're doing some part-time work and are uncovered. Can a member appeal a claim if protection is denied? Of course, the member insured can always appeal claims declinations. The carrier will always provide the reasoning for the claims declination, and they will encourage the insured to provide additional facts if they exist. If the member is not getting a reasonably prompt response from the carrier, he or she can contact the association, who in turn will probably contact me at Forrest T. Jones, but I really don't see this as a problem. So the carrier, again, is going to provide a letter of acknowledgement to you, letting you know if there is coverage, or if there isn't, they're going to define why there was no coverage with some specific language in the policy. And oftentimes, enough information was just not provided, and when the person further provides the information, then sometimes that declination is reversed. So I've answered some common questions that I came up with that, again, I've just based this on people who have called my office and questions that I received at the NAESP conference through the many years I've attended. So perhaps you have some other questions, and you can feel free to ask those. I know they've come in the message box.
I can go over those with you if you like, Fred. The first question is, why is it significant for members to know we are a member of TIE? Does that mean the pool is larger and therefore keeps the rates down?
Yeah, very much so. So, again, TIE is based on this consortium. If I were to go to any one of the carriers, a New York Life or a Fidelity Security or an AIG, with any one of the individual associations, quite frankly, they would not get the best rates. But when I bundle all 67 associations together and deliver a potential for 1.5 million candidates for their products, I get a whole different level of attention from that carrier. And this, in fact, drives down the rates. Even on a voluntary basis, now again, NAESP members are lucky that they have an in-dues plan, but even on a voluntary basis, members in our other associations can purchase $1 million of coverage, not 2 million, but 1 million, for a $99 annual premium. And if I were to get this as an insurance agent, a professional liability plan, it's often, I could expect to pay a couple $1,000s for that coverage. So it's a bargain, and it's a bargain because of the claims experience, and it's because of these large numbers.
Great, thank you. Natalie asks, do you recommend buying additional insurance, and do you sell it to individuals?
So if you're asking additional professional liability insurance, so here's the thing, and I've got to say, I get asked this question all the time, particularly with business insurance, like, how much insurance is enough, Fred? Well, frankly, the answer is going to be a crass one. The answer is $2 million of coverage is more than adequate unless you had a $3 million claim against you. What I will say is, in my experience, my 27-year experience with this policy, with all associations, I will say that the $2 million limit has been more than adequate to address those claims. I will also say, however, I used to tell folks that I've never seen a $1 million claim on liability or on the business insurance, for that matter, and that number has come into the skew now, whereby there are $1 million claims now, and multiple educators can get named for multi-$1 million suits. So, yeah, I mean, it all depends on a person's risk tolerance. Some people are really risk averse and they want to insure everything, and other people would feel that, you know, if I just had a million of coverage, that would be more than enough. But I think this is a pretty good limit. I know I've seen in the marketplace that some people are offering, you know, $3, $4, and $5 million limits. You know, that would be, you'd be charged additional premium for that. And frankly, if there's never a claim that exceeds a million or two, then you'd be buying coverage for something that isn't likely to happen.
Great, thank you. What does excess policy mean? Can you be a little more descriptive on that?
Sure. So an excess policy means an additional policy. So in our policy, there is language, and the language, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the policy in front of me, but it says something to the effect that if there is other insurance that is available to the insured, that we want to be excess over their coverage. So this predominantly comes into play in a school setting with the school district's E&O policy. So if the school district's E&O policy, for example, provides a defense and further provides indemnification in the event of a claim, then our policy would be excess or silent in that. But where the voids would occur within the school district's policy, or as in a couple of the poll examples where either the school district, their policy was exhausted again because it covers so many areas within that educational entity, or it flat declines to cover you, or it's like, as in, again, the one poll example where emotional distress was not covered, then the NAES policy would respond as though it's primary. I'm not a lawyer, but what I'm told is that when there are multiple insurance companies in the event there is a claim and these things go to court, oftentimes the judge in that case is going to divvy up the responsibility, again, based on how he sees these strata of different policies coming into play. And what has typically been the case is the first and most predominant line of defense is the school district's policy. But often cases, they'll say, well, you know, Fred Wheeler, an elementary school principal, also has a policy through his professional association, so that they will take a pro rata share of this loss as well. So he basically shares the loss among the several policies that may exist.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mike asks, how difficult is it to get reimbursed for legal defense costs?
Well, you know, so long as it's a job due process hearing. So if you were, again, demoted, suspended, reassigned, or terminated in the workplace, my experience has been that they are very liberal in those cases. So if it were, here is an example, however, I'll bring this up because it has happened through the years. So if somebody is, our policy is what's called a defense policy. So when this action is taken against you, then the policy responds. But let's say somebody in your workplace was accusing you of stealing. Well, I can tell you right now, my honor is important to me, and if somebody accused me of stealing, I'd want them to stop. So oftentimes people will come to us and say, you know, I want to bring a suit, get an attorney to get this person to stop saying these disparaging things about me in the workplace. That is not the intent of a professional liability policy. Again, that would be a proactive policy. What ours is the defense policy. So if, in that example, somebody accuses you of stealing and then your school or your superintendent takes an action against you and says, we're going to demote you or terminate you, then by all means, the job action element of this would come into play.
So what are the steps for getting reimbursed?
Well, so I'll have to break it into the two elements. So, you know, if we're talking about a job action, again, the trigger of that is suspension, demotion, reassignment, or termination. So if any one of those things come into play, you would file a claim with our office. And at the end of this presentation, when we go to the next slide, there'll be a website and a telephone number that you'll be able to jot down. But you would go to our claims person. They, again, would validate that there is coverage with NAESP. Once there is coverage, they'll ask you for the facts related to the job action. So let's take the example that you're reassigned to a school and you didn't think it was warranted. They would then provide the appropriate limit for you. So if you're a 10-year NAESP member with no break in coverage, you'd be entitled to $10,000 of job protection benefits. And then you would go get the services of an attorney to represent you. Now, if you needed some help with that, the insurance company has always been very good at providing some law firms in different geographic areas to provide some assistance. So that's in the case of a job action. In the case of a professional liability claim, again, you're charged with improper supervision or violating a student's civil rights, and a charge has been levied against you formally, you would take the same process whereby you would submit the documentation to a person in our Kansas City home office. They would validate your membership. They would send it to the carrier. The carrier then, within a fairly short period of time, would send you this letter of acknowledgement to tell you that either this is covered under the policy, or if it's not covered, they're going to cite usually an exclusion whereby it wouldn't be covered. And then you'd be protected up to the full policy limit. And again, in the event it's a employment-related circumstance, they would prefer that you get an employment practices attorney. Again, if one is you're not aware of one in your area, or you'd like a little assistance in that, they're more than happy to direct you to somebody that has who is an expert in that specific area and your specific geographic location.
And I'd like to just add, Ernie Menino is with us, Deputy Executive Director of NAESP. He adds that you can also call NAESP. I've included his email address in the chat box. Ernie says he handles hundreds of calls a year. So then another question for you, Fred. In the poll questions, there were a lot of situations with teachers. What would you say are the most common issues for administrators that you handle versus teachers?
Yeah, so, you know, the way this works, and it's going to be no secret to all you folks who work in the trenches, is if you're a German teacher, quite frankly, you know, you will have some liability risk, just like every educator in every field. But as you get up into the administrative ranks, now you not only become responsible for your liability, but you become responsible for those who report to you. And that's probably pretty much everybody in your school. So the tentacles go out much more broadly. And then I'd say even a step further, if you were a superintendent, then you're responsible for the actions of all the educators in all of the schools. So I would say that, you know, as a principal, unfortunately, you're responsible for the actions or inactions of everybody in your school and not just your own. So it becomes critically important as you kind of move up into different administrative capacities that you have this coverage. Yes, so thanks everybody who participated. I really got a kick out of those poll questions. And if you have any other questions, you may want to just go to our website. We have a really comprehensive website that we've spent a lot of time, effort, and money in developing. And you'd go to that website by putting in www.f, as in Frank, T as in Tom, J as in Jones.com. And then if you just do a /, and put NAESP, you'll forego going to the general landing page and you'll go right to the specific NAESP landing page. And I'll also encourage you to, if you have questions, is to call our customer service department. And that number is 1-800-821-7303. And you can get answers to all your questions from a real great group of professionals who are there to help you. And by the way, I'm going to encourage again all of you to go to the website, learn about professional liability, but you'll also learn about 14 other wonderful plans offered exclusively to NAESP members. And those plans include various kinds of life insurance, disability, cancer insurance, coverage for identity theft or legal services, goes on and on and on. We even have pet insurance, which is becoming more and more popular. So there's 14 different plans. There's a good description with a question and answer area in each of those sub-tabs about that specific coverage. Where you're able to enroll in line, you could just enroll online and you don't even need to submit an application. Some products require some underwriting and an application, but where we're able to, you'll be able to enroll online. And these, again, are products from some of the very best companies in the country. Companies like New York Life, who is one of the most conservative life insurance companies that you'll ever find. And those are the kinds of companies that we want to hitch our wagon to, because we want to make sure that the companies we direct you to are going to be there for, in the event of a claim, either by you or by your beneficiary. So we only pick the best of the best, and they are also very competitive products to boot.
Well, Fred, thank you so much. On behalf of our NAESP and our members, thank you for everything you've done for us over the years. We really appreciate you keeping an eye out for the best products for our members. And this afternoon's webinar has been very informative. I know you all will think and reflect, and I hope contact you if there's any questions or claims.